And you might like to turn in your Bible to in the book of Deuteronomy and in chapter 4. Chapter 4. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. And God, we've opened your word. Spirit of God, help us that we might have the benefit of understanding, that we might be able to exercise our relationship to you in a better and more and a higher wonderful way. So deal with our heads and hearts and help us understand. And God, we're going to thank you. We think of the sick, those that are away and all of that. And God, so here we are. Your day, your time. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. And we have taken time in the book of Ephesians because we were in chapter 10 and 11 of Joshua. And that was a time in Joshua's history that they were one heart and one mind, as it were. And they had an awesome period of conquest. They didn't lose anybody. There's no record, hardly, of anything. 36 people once. Wow. And so, in order to capitalize on that period and to see it from our point of view in history, on this side of the cross. So, and therefore we did the Ephesians chapter 6 and the armor of God, which was what? Because the Father, because of our Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1:3, God the Father has blessed us in all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. God the Father has done that. And as you would read the book, wonderful epistle to the Ephesians, all of that heavenly, awesome relationship is to be enjoyed and exercised. And so therefore we spend time in Ephesians chapter 6. Now, having said that, the last piece of equipment, the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 6 and 17, which is the Word of God. God takes the Word of God and honors it to the fullest. Now, because God said it, a God backs it up, it has to be. So, now going back to pick up where we were a little bit, and in the light of that, going back because you won't remember everything, so we'll pick it up in how God. So God, we're going to look at chapter 10, 11, but to get the background again a little bit, over to Deuteronomy and chapter 4. And Israel, remember the book of Deuteronomy is the last, is written, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Deuteronomy sums up that so that we can look at God's word and have the understanding of that which God has said. So Deuteronomy is before Moses is going to die and cross, and Israel is going to cross the Jordan. And thus Deuteronomy is filling in that all that happened and adding to it and explaining it. So chapter 4, picking up, Israel is told its awesome future in a very sobering way. So, when we come over, if we can, chapter 4, verse 30. And Israel, when it is in tribulation, they're going to be in unbelief, the Assyrian captivity, the Babylonian captivity, where they are today. So in chapter 4, verse 30. When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, and they did, and they have, even in the latter days. If thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shall be obedient unto his voice, the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So, and God's going to go and honor his word in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, God, what are you going to do? Israel is going to go, and God has an assignment for them, and they're going to go and cross the Jordan into the land. But, so, here they are, and here's Moses, and picking it up, if I can, in the same context, chapter 4, and going to verse 35. And unto thee, remember now, here's Israel, by the way, and Israel has, I know I haven't got all the details, and you have more than I do, I'm sure, but many things. I bet we'll hear about it afterwards, maybe. Many things that happened in the Israel, in the encounter, and all that happened. Like in the past encounters, the seven-day war and all of them. God did wonderful things to give him victory. And God, I'm sure, has done it again. That's what I heard. God just, they experienced something, and God was there and miraculously did stuff. Now, God owes them, his people, and God's going to bless them. When the world tries to beat them up, God is still going to honor them, even though they're there in unbelief. Now, so, here in chapter 4, what was Israel to understand before they crossed the Jordan? Verse 35, unto thee it was shown that thou mightest know that the Lord he is God, and there is none else beside him. Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee, and upon thee, and upon earth he showed thee his great fire, Mount Sinai, and thou heardest his voice, his words, out of the midst of the fire, Mount Sinai. Verse 37, and because he loved thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, therefore he chose thee, chose thy seed after thee, after them, and brought thee out in the sight with his mighty hand out of Egypt. He brought thee out. He didn't make 430 years from Moses, from Jacob going to Egypt, and 430 years later, they exited. So, they're ready to be the nation. They're a bunch of slaves that are going to become God's army. Now, so chapter 4, he brought them out, verse 37, verse 38, to drive out nations from before thee, great and mighty, mighty, mightier than thou art, to bring them thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance, as it is this day. God brought them out to bring them in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So, now, having to look at that, how did that happen, and how did it work out? Over, if I can, to chapter, and well, we can read it, let me read a little further there, so you see it, in verse 38. To drive them out, drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance, as it is this day. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God, in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. Verse 40, thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, reason that it might go well with thee, and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. So they were to honor God, and God would bring them out to bring them in a wonderful way. Now, chapter 6. And in chapter 6, sliding over to verse 20, and when thy son, they're going to ask now of God's taking them out of Egypt into the land, and they're going to ask questions. Verse 20, and when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments, think of Mount Sinai, which the Lord thy your God hath commanded you, then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. Verse 23, and he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. So God brought them out to bring them in. Verse 24, and the Lord commanded us to do all the statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that we might that he might preserve us alive, as it is this day. Now verse 25. Well, sliding you out first. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us. Now, having said that, over to chapter 7. And chapter 7. So they're gonna look to God and honor God, and God to bring them out. They understood. And they were to be brought in. They weren't to stay in the desert. Chapter 7, and in verse 13. And verse 13. And he will love thee, and bless thee, and multiply thee. He will also bring the fruit of thy womb, and the fruit of thy land, thy corn, and thy wine, and thine oil, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep, and in the land which he sware unto thy fathers, he will give thee. So, sliding down again, of verse 14, and thou shalt be blessed above all the people. There shall not be a male or female barren among you, among your cattle. And the Lord will take away all sickness, and will put none of these evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. So God, you're going to go, and you're going to make it a wonderful time. God's awesome God. So all they got to do is keep the relationship healthy. Verse 16, and thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Thine eyes shall have no pity upon them, neither shall thou serve their gods, idolatry. For that will be a snare unto you, you're going to be in trouble. And sliding along, and verse 17, and thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? In other words, how can we go against people that have the chariots of iron and giants and everything? How are we going to do that? And God encourages them. They haven't even crossed the Jordan yet, but he tells them everything that's going to be. Verse 18, and thou shalt not be afraid of them, but thou shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt. So don't forget how God changed Pharaoh's mind, how God took care of him, Pharaoh's army, at the Red Sea. Verse 19, the great temptations which thine eyes saw, all the signs and the wonders and the mighty hand which the stretched out arm. Thereby the Lord thy God brought thee out, so shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people to whom thou art afraid. God's going to take care of you, so don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Verse 20. Moreover, the Lord thy God will send the hornet among them until they that are left and hide themselves from thee be destroyed. Verse 21. And thou shalt not be afraid at them. For why not? For the Lord thy God remaineth among you a mighty God and a terrible God. God's going to take care of you in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Over to chapter 9. So God, you're going to go. And Israel is told everything, and it's going to be wonderful. All you got to do is trust God. That's all they had to do, because God had a wonderful plan. Chapter 9, Deuteronomy, verse 1. Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day, to go to possess the nations greater and mightier than thyself, cities great and fenced up to heaven. The walls, remember, were so high, double walls often, that they had to go up against. A people great and tall, the children of the Anakims, whom thou knowest, and to whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak, the giants, like Goliath? Who can do that? Who can handle it? They're all told this. They're all told this. They knew it. And so they needed to understand the enemy. Verse 3. Understand, therefore, this day, that the Lord thy God is he which goeth before thee. As a consuming fire, he shall destroy them, and he shall bring them down before thy face. So shall thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord has said unto thee. So, God, you're going to go. Verse 4. Speak not thou in thine... Here's a warning now, having given you a great encouragement. Verse 4. Speak not thou in thine heart after that the Lord thy God hath cast them out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land, but for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord doth drive them out from before thee. The problem's going to be, after you have this superior victory of oneness, on super duper, you're going to have this victory. And you're going to think you did it. You did it. That's going to be your problem. God did it. And the reason he did it to them, because they were worse than you were. They're more wicked than you guys are. And so that's why it happened. So don't start. Your problem's going to be you're going to start claiming something, thinking something that, well, maybe it's because I'm better and no more or whatever. Don't want to do that. So, therefore, in chapter 9, and sliding down again to verse 6. Understand, therefore, that the Lord thy God giveth thee not, N-O-T, this good land to possess it for thy righteousness. For thou art a stiff-necked people. So don't claim anything. Don't start saying, boy, we did it. We deserve it. We honor it. And start going around the street claiming something. Don't do that. I'm doing something wonderful. I brought you out to bring you in. I want you to know that. and enjoy that. So now, sliding over, chapter 9, verse 13. And to show this, furthermore, the Lord spake unto me, chapter 9, verse 13. Furthermore, the Lord spake unto me, saying, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Let me alone, that I may destroy them, and blot them up, blot out their name from under heaven. And I will make of thee a nation mightier and greater than they. In other words, God said to Moses, and to test Moses, Moses, this is a stiff-necked people. Let's get rid of them all and start over again. And Moses has to consider that. And therefore, verse 15, and so I turned and came down from the mount. And the mount, that's the Mount Sinai, etc. And the mount burned with fire. And the two tablets of stone of the covenant were in my two hands, the Ten Commandments. Verse 16, and I looked when I came down, and behold, ye had sinned against the Lord your God, and had made you a molten golden calf. Remember chapter 32, Exodus, etc. And you had turned aside quickly, and you had turned aside quickly out of the way which the Lord had commanded you, I took the two tablets, and I cast them out of my two hands, and break them before your eyes. And I fell down before the Lord as at the first, 40 days and 40 nights. And I did neither eat bread nor drink water, because of all your sins which you have sinned in doing wickedly and in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. God said Moses, therefore, verse 19, for I was afraid of the anger and the displeasure which the Lord was wroth against you to destroy you. But the Lord hearkened unto me at that time also. And Moses prayed and spared the people, as you would remember. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, Israel isn't, they're going to have a wonderful victory. But the danger is that giving the victory, like it says in Deuteronomy, et cetera, the trouble is when God blesses and makes your table full and your heart happy, you'll forget him. You're going to forget him. And you put him out of your sight as if everything was normal. That's the trouble. So now, Israel is warned, and the golden calf is always a pain in the neck to Israel, even today, even though they aren't into idolatry as a nation. So, having said that and keeping that in mind, the golden calf, if I can, sliding over to chapter 31. And in chapter 31, you would recall, which we did the other day, and here's Moses. And Moses is about to die, and the Israel is going to cross the Jordan. And you'll remember chapter 31 in verse 26. Take this book, the law, and put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God. Why? That it may be there for a witness against thee. The two tablets of stone are inside, but the outside of the ark, there's the Bible sitting there. So when you look, you see God's word. I want you to keep that in mind, because, for I know, verse 27, I know thy rebellion and thy stiff-necked. Behold, while I am yet alive with you, this day you have been rebellious against the Lord, and how much more after my death? Gather unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers. Why? That I may speak these words in their ears and call heaven and earth to record, bear witness against them. For, verse 29, I know that after my death, you will utterly corrupt yourselves. Moses isn't around to be a deterrent to evil like the policeman has disappeared from the bank. And for I know that after thy death, you will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days. Because, why? Because you do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger, though through the work of your hands, God. So what's the prospect? You're going to cross the Jordan. You're going to have an awesome, wonderful time because it's an awesome move. So here they are spending all the time in Egypt. And now they're spending all this time in the wilderness. And remember now, over if I can to Numbers, picking up please, over in Numbers and in chapter 1. And in Numbers chapter 1, picking up in thought, if I can. And here is Israel. In the process, and Israel's going to go, and God, they're going to have the count of the men there, and picking up, if I can, verse 45, chapter 1. This is the recording, they're taking the attendance, they're taking account. So were all those that were numbered of the children of Israel by the house of their fathers, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war in Israel. Now, so when they crossed the Jordan and had finished at Mount Sinai, they went 11 days' journey northward to Kadesh Barnea. And going to Kadesh Barnea is just in the southern part of here's the Dead Sea, and here's Kadesh Barnea. And they were to go there and get ready, and all of that army was to go after 40 days and nights, looking at the 12 spies under Joshua, looked at every Caleb, they looked at everything, and saw the giants, and saw the walled cities, and saw everything, and after seeing everything, they came back with the grapes and everything, and said, listen, the enemy is awesome, but God is greater, and let's go. And you remember, we'll do it in a sec, maybe, chapter 13, they said, no, we can't go. We can't do this. So now, picking up in chapter 1, so we got all these people, over 600,000 of them men, 20 years old and older. So we can go over in the light of that, over to chapter 14. And in chapter 14, you remember, and picking up if I can, you remember they didn't go, and you know all that. Chapter 13 of Numbers, you know they went, turn a page back, and they went, and the 12 spies bring a report, 10 of them negatively, 2 of them positive. Caleb and Joshua believed, the rest didn't. But the people believed the 10, and the people went. Chapter 13 of Numbers, verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel. So, saying, the land through which we have gone to search? Is it it? It is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and we were in their sight. So, and they negative. They didn't do what they should have done. So God, what'd you do? Because they didn't believe. So God, for the 40 days they searched the land, for every single day they were up in the land, God said, I'm going to have you spend 40 years in the wilderness. For every day you spent up there, 1 year in the wilderness, you weren't going anywhere. You're going to stay there. Now, over to chapter 14, if I can, picking up, please, if I may. Chapter 14, verse 20. And your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, and all 600 died. 600,000. It took 40 years, and God let them all die. And so God's going to start again with those. So the people, when they're going to cross the Jordan, the only Joshua and Caleb, they're going to do it. Look over in chapter 14, verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, he believed, followed God and listened to God, so did Joshua, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. So Joshua and Caleb are two people that crossed the Jordan that knew what it was like when they got out of Egypt. And all those other men are gone, and the only other men alive at the time were people that were 15 years old, 16 years old. They didn't die. They could be 16 plus 40. That's what they would be. And all those men, they watched in 40 years as God eliminated each one. And they didn't have to go to the coroner or something, to the whatever, to have an exam. Why did you die? Why did you die? No. God just took them one after another. He said, you will not. I'm going to judge you. And he did in his awesome, wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, over if I can, oh, for time's sake, over to Deuteronomy chapter 33. So when we come to the end of the book of Deuteronomy, and we're going to go and cross the Jordan, that's what we're going to do. And so God, how do you encourage Israel? How did you encourage them? Moses is about to sign off, and God encourages the people. So therefore, chapter 33, and picking up in, as you know, verse 29, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, the word help, aid, ally. Remember what you did in the book, in armor, Ephesians chapter 6? Put on the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. Now, what did you tell the Israelites? God. God. When we do it, it's the armor that belongs to God. The shield belongs to God. The sword belongs to God. God will exercise his wonderful, saving, protective hand in a most wonderful way. So, again, back to 33, 29. Happy art thou, O Israel, who was like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, aid, ally, and who is the sword of thy excellency to rise up, to high, go high, who is the sword of thy excellency God's power. And God, in other words, God's shield and God's power are going to help them. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. God is going to give them a wonderful, wonderful victory in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, tying it a little bit, got to all of that, and all of that, God, there's no excuse. They knew what was going to happen. They have their warnings. They understood. And all they had to do was listen and pay attention and follow that which God was saying. And they would be wonderfully not afraid. They'd be winners. Now, they're going to do it, but just for a little bit. Why are they going to do it for a little bit? Because their old sin nature in Adam doesn't want to do it, as you'll see. Now, having said that, here we are. Now, God, you took them out to bring them in. When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, how long does it take to move you from a state of death to a state of life? How long does it take for God to save you? The minute you receive Him as your Savior, in one moment, He takes you from where you were to where you are. He brought you. He saves you. He saves you out from a state of death to be brought into a state of life in a most wonderful way. You're to become a new creature, 2 Corinthians 5:17. You're to become a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I did that. Now, what was Israel? Israel had to learn by the College of Hard Knocks. And they did, but they didn't. When we come to know the Lord, God does something wonderful. In a moment, He transfers us from being outside His wonderful word and will to be inside, to save us in one moment of time. And thus the wonderful truth of John chapter 5, verse 24. You may want to turn it, you know it, but look at it. Chapter 5 and verse 24. Picking it up, if I may. As you know, verily, verily, chapter 5, verse 24, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, judgment, but is passed. Right then and now, you have passed from death unto life. God saves us in a wonderful way and gives us a wonderful relationship to practice it. Israel is going to be saved, and they're going to cross the Jordan, and they're going to go and be able to exercise a unique and wonderful relationship if they could just keep doing it. Now, our Father and God, we thank you for your word and your grace. Thank you, God, for Israel and all that lies ahead for that nation. God, thank you. And God, here we are in the meanwhile. So deal with our heads and hearts and help us in every way that we would understand, God, the moment we look to you in Calvary's cross and received you as our Savior, God, in that moment of time, you took us from a state of being and of death and being outside to a state of life, being inside, to be able to know and honor you and be able to what? Have us enjoy all of the wonderful blessings of heaven in and by the armor of God. And we'll thank you as what you do and how you do it. In Christ's name, amen.